This is a club for lovers of Sophia, cartographers of the noosphere, anthropologists of memeplexes, addicts of insight porn, and rebels full of youquakes. We are not idealists or realists, theists or atheists, modernists or postmodernists, liberals or conservatives, progressivists or reactionaries. We may be a mix of all of these things, but first and foremost, we are intellectual explorers. Welcome to the very first episode of Intellectual Explorers Club. So what is Intellectual Explorers Club? Well, it started off as a Toronto-based social club that I started in the fall of 2017, initially as a book club for local Torontonians to engage in deep books. Now, deep books is my technical classification for the type of books that have the potential to shake your intellectual paradigm. There's this phrase I got from Robin Hanson called viewquakes, which he defines as insights which dramatically changed his worldview. I like that a lot, and that is exactly what I'm aiming for when starting this club. Let's read books and engage in conversations that engender viewquakes. The mission of Intellectual Explorers Club is to promote the exploration of ideas which expand and challenge our current map of reality. As a club, we are not denying that some ideas may be more practical, moral, or truthful than others. We are simply traversing through the ideosphere with curiosity, open-mindedness, and intellectual humility. This podcast is envisioned to be a companion to the in-person clubs. While we read these deep books or articles or watch deep videos or films, we'll come across some deep ideas, and I want an outlet to share these ideas with a wider audience. It's my hope that together, through exploring these ideas, we can become connoisseurs of ideas, big ideas, ideas that will enrich our map of reality, or at least make it more interesting. Okay, the idea is this. Each podcast episode will be dedicated to one idea, and I'll try my best to explain that idea under 10 minutes. I might revise this, but let's see how it goes for now. I imagine that each episode will range anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes. And I'd like to view these episodes as cognitive espresso shots. Okay, let's dive in. Our very first idea is called gray pilling. Now, I first saw this term from an article called "The Internet is One Big Gray Pill" by Venkatesh Rao, who is an author and blogger from the blog Ribbon Farm. And this guy has a wickedly creative mind. I highly recommend you check out his blog and the various ebooks he has available. So in order to understand the gray pill, we need to return to the iconic red pill versus blue pill dichotomy. This, of course, is from the movie The Matrix, where Morpheus gives Neo the opportunity to find out the truth about the Matrix, if only he chooses the right pill, which of course is the red one. A quote from the movie, quote, "You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more." End quote. Internet culture co-opted the red pill, blue pill terminology to refer to secret knowledge that mainstream culture denies from us. According to Know Your Meme, it is, quote, a metaphorical term used to describe the epiphany of the unpleasant truth of reality in a wide range of contexts, end quote. Or according to Venkatesh, quote, a red pill is a dose of information that awakens you to the existence of the world beyond the one you are unconsciously immersed in. Like a fish being taken out of water, red pill moments sensitize you to the previously invisible boundaries and structural lies of the world you knew, and make you more alive to astounding possibilities beyond it. End quote. But red pills tribalize you. You now have a community full of shibboleths and memes that invoke outrage. Because now you know who the enemy is. Provocatively, Venkatesh says, there is no blue pill. There is no unknowing technology that we can just engage in. Unlike Neo, we do not have a choice to take a blue pill. We are born blue pill. We are born into the illusion. And he goes on to say that the red pill can become a false consciousness in itself. Maybe the red pill you took was just a small part of the truth. Or maybe it was just half right, or just more right than the blue pill, but not a full truth in itself. The problem occurs when one gets stuck in their red pill truths. Now, this is not as glamorous as it may sound. The gray pill does free you to be a really creative thinker, but it also could disrupt your regular functioning operating system. In essence, to be gray pilled could give you a full-blown existential crisis. If you question everything, you question the fundamentals of why you do anything. But the good news awaits for those who manage to survive their existential crisis. Because, as Venkatesh puts it, a life of generative curiosity and openness to experience can await for those who do. Now, let's get out of the conceptual clouds and give a concrete example of the gray pill. I'm going to pick a non-controversial example, and maybe it's a little bit silly, but I want to use the self-help idea of the law of attraction. And I'll use this idea to demonstrate the process of starting off blue-pilled, getting red-pilled, then finally being gray-pilled. For those of you who are not familiar with this term, the law of attraction was popularized in 2006 in the book and documentary called The Secret. The idea is essentially this: your thoughts create reality. If you want to manifest your goals, your dreams, your desires, you need to think positive and visualize your success. Okay, so let's say James has a dream of becoming a famous photographer. But he's not pursuing this dream because he doesn't really believe he can achieve it. Instead, he becomes an accountant, mainly because he doesn't think he's good enough to be a world-class photographer. He thinks he's being realistic. In the realm of success, this is James being blue-pilled. Then James watches The Secret and discovers the law of attraction. He realizes he's been doing this all wrong. James was a negative thinker. If only he really believed and visualized every day about being a successful photographer, he could become one. So soon after he's exposed to this idea, he becomes a disciple of the law of attraction. He buys books on it. He uses the lingo. He goes to conferences, engages in daily practices, joins local support groups. He now belongs to a tribe that has their own secret code words and practices. Now, this is the important part. Like Neo living in the Matrix and joining the resistance, James now belongs to a tribe that has escaped the illusion and is fighting against, in this case, limited thinking. This is James getting red-pilled in regard to success. Now, being red-pilled into anything can be highly addicting and intoxicating, and this instills incentive to stay red-pilled. But let's say James takes a moment and reflects and questions his red-pilled truths in good faith. Let's say he engages in the following thought experiment to stress test the law of attraction. What if the whole world started to use the law of attraction techniques to manifest a Bugatti? Now, for those of you who, like me, know nothing about cars, a Bugatti is this outrageously expensive car that celebrities like to own to show off how wealthy they are. Now, if James is honest with himself, he'll know that the world is not going to stop what it's doing and start producing 7 billion Bugattis for everyone. Sure, this example could be a little unfair, but it points to the idea that there's limited resources and everyone can't get what they want. A simpler example would be 10 people applying for the same job, and all these 10 people are using the law of attraction techniques, but only one person is going to get the job, and he or she is probably going to get it due to reasons other than positive thinking. Now, let's say after engaging these thought experiments, James recalls a friend he met at one of these self-help conferences. And let's call her Alice. And let's say Alice did everything right when using the law of attraction techniques to manifest the life that she wants. And, you know, some good things were coming into her life, but then all of a sudden she gets hit by a bus and dies. All of her goals that she was in the process of trying to manifest did not get manifested. What does James make of this? If he's thinking in good faith, at the very least, he might start to wonder about the role of luck and Alice's bad luck. And if he wonders about that, he might start wondering about the role of intelligence or wisdom or talent or economic factors or power dynamics that are in play in society. Now the story's a little bit more complicated when it comes to success. You'll need more in your toolbox than simply positive thinking. This is James getting gray-pilled. Now, I don't know if the law of attraction was the best example, but I think you get the idea. Being gray-pilled is a three-step process. First, you have your unquestioned assumptions about a certain aspect of life. Then you're introduced to a new way of thinking, which questions those assumptions, and you begin to see the world and yourself in a new light. The last step is, if for whatever reason you decide to question this new way of thinking, you might come to realize that the situation is much more nuanced than you once thought. I'd say gray-pilling is one of the hazards of being an intellectual explorer, and it's my hope that if you continue to listen to this podcast or if you come out to one of the in-person events, you'll have your share of gray-pill moments. Okay, so I'm going to end this here. If there's anything you think I got wrong or I misunderstood about this idea, send me a message and I'll add any corrections to the show notes. Until next time, keep exploring.